So it's spring. It's a time of resurrection all around us. Plants and things that looked dead a few months ago are springing into life. And I'm springing into life because it's spring and I'm coming out of winter. When spring comes, we have that little first promise, don't we? We see a bud and the tiniest little bit of green starting to emerge from that bud. And then before we know it, those leaves open up and then blossom is everywhere and it's just majestic round about us at the moment. We're very fortunate and blessed to live where we live. It's so beautiful at the moment, the blossom everywhere. And when we see that blossom, we know that summer's going to follow and some of that blossom will turn into fruit and then the fruit will be warmed and ripened and then come autumn, we'll be picking that fruit and enjoying that fruit. That's nature at its best. And we accept this. This is our reality because we live in an area where there are seasons and we experience spring every year. It's part of our norm. We see it. But those of us who call ourselves Christians are called to live by faith, not by sight. I want you to imagine for a moment that someone in an area where there are no seasons saw this little bulb. And they've not experienced spring and they've not had access to media, so they don't know that spring occurs. And imagine if they looked at that bulb and then someone told them that this would become that in a few months. In the right conditions, with the right weather, this bulb would become this magnificent flower. It would be really hard for that person to believe that, wouldn't it? Because it's not their reality. They don't see that every year like we do. So when Ezekiel's walking in the Valley of Dry Bones, it's completely understandable that when God says to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He's going to say, "Oh Lord, only you know if these bones live." Because it's not within his sphere of reference. It's not his normal. It's very abnormal. When this happened, scholars tell us that Ezekiel was probably about 25 years old, maybe 30 max. Now, that really surprised me because I don't know about you, but the image I've got of Ezekiel is of an elderly gentleman with a huge beard that's grey. You know, probably got that from the illustrated Bible of childhood that I read. But that's how I've always imagined Ezekiel. So I was really surprised to learn that actually he was about 25. And when this happened to him, he had been separated from his family, his friends, and his home because the nation of Israel had been taken captive and taken into exile and taken from the land. And they had been separated, most importantly, from the temple. That was the only place they could access God. Unlike us, who live on the other side of the resurrection, we have free access to God at any time in any place. For the Jews at that time, the only access they had to God was in the temple. So therefore, being far away from their homeland and their friends and their family and their temple meant that they were really struggling and they were in despair and they had lost their identity. And it's in this context that God says, "Can these bones live?" And this led me to think about another 25-year-old that I met just last year who had also been taken away through circumstances from his country, from his friends, from his family. And he also had lost identity. And he wasn't actually in despair. He was actually full of hope. He was from Afghanistan. And I met him in the jungle in Cali. And he the village where he came from in North Afghanistan over the last couple of years before he left had become a very, very dangerous place for 25-year-old men. Because on one side, Taliban were in control, and on the other side of his village, ISIS were in control. And both of these organisations wanted to recruit as many young men as they could to fight for their cause. Quite understandably, his father feared for his son's life and his future. His father had taught Asif that the most precious thing as a human being you can have is a good education. And he'd had a good education and he already had a degree in engineering. His father had also taught him that the most important thing for him was to learn the English language. And that's why I could communicate with him, because he was sitting talking to me in beautiful English. He had spent every penny of his pocket money as he grew up to pay for a private tutor so that he could learn English. And his father had gathered up all the family savings and said, please go, because I really fear for your safety. And he'd given him everything and sent him off, which must have been an incredibly difficult thing for that father to do. And I sat with him, and he'd only been in the jungle 2 weeks, and he had walked 3,500 miles. He had walked through 7 countries. He'd been arrested 4 times. And he was trying to get to the UK, because his father had taught him the UK is a place of safety, of opportunity, of freedom, and of choice. So equipped with the English language and an education, he was trying to get to the UK. And at the time when I met him, there was an incredible statistic I read that one in every 122 people on planet Earth at that time were in the same position as Asif was. They were refugees. Can these people live? Can these bones live? When God spoke to the most famous refugee people of all time, the people of Israel, when they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness, he said to them, today I place before you a choice. Life or death, blessings or curses. And it seems to me that these choices are as relevant today as they ever were. Choice to me is the very essence of true freedom. I want us to stop for a minute and just close your eyes and in silence, just think about what choices you are making at the moment. Today's epistle makes it really clear that there's a very healthy choice. The choice that will make us really alive to God and dead to sin. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So the same Spirit that is deep within this bulb's DNA and every year, without fail, transforms it to this, is the same Spirit that brought Lazarus back to life and brought Jesus back to life. And it's the same Spirit that brings us to real life. There's a different quality to the life we live when we are filled by the Spirit. We're not stumbling along, getting by. Rather, we're awake and we're alert to the Spirit's whisper within us. This will mean that if we're obedient to what we hear, like Ezekiel and Jesus, we will speak to the dead and bring them to life, both figuratively and in reality. Just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it isn't true. Now, I'm preaching to myself here because I find it really, really hard to believe that I can speak to the dead and they will come to life. I have no problem admitting that. I'm a health professional. I've given medication, I've undertaken CPR, and I've resuscitated people who have died, but I have never spoken to a dead body and seen them rise to life. But like that person that I described earlier on, that never experiences spring, it's not their frame of reality. They haven't seen it. We're called to live by faith, not by sight. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what is unseen. We can't do this ourselves. We have to actually ask for more faith. But what I noticed was that Ezekiel and Jesus both listened before they spoke. So we need to be listening, because I don't believe that every time a dead person is around us, we are called to raise them to life. I could be wrong, and I'm happy to be challenged. But I think that's our current reality at the moment. But there might be times when we're called to do that, but we must be listening. So what I want to do is leave you with three practical applications that I have heard and I have listened, and over the years I've applied, and I know to be true, to bring life. Number one, speak truth regularly and consistently over yourself. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We need to know who we are. We need to know who we are in Christ so that we can bring his kingdom. I am a child of God. I am called and I am chosen. Before the foundations of the earth were formed, God chose me. And he prepared in advance good works for me to do. And all I have to do is walk into them. They're there, already prepared. I'm the apple of his eye. I am beloved. I'm a saint. Now, Brian lives with me, so he knows that in reality, that's quite hard to believe. But that's what God says about me. He says, I'm a saint, so he will make me a saint. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's why we need to hear the word of God, and we need to speak it over ourselves. Because the word of God is powerful, and it's active, and it does things we don't understand, but it's really incredibly powerful and important we speak it over ourselves. Because if our mind is transformed and renewed, we will know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Two, speak the truth over others, affirming their identity and their uniqueness. Now, we British are not really very good at this because we're quite reserved, aren't we? But people all around us are starving and longing for affirmation. They need it. They need us to affirm them and speak life over them. For those of you that are parents or carers of children or grandparents, catch them doing something right. It's dead easy to catch them doing something wrong. They're just, they can't help themselves. But find it when they can, when they're doing something right. And make sure that the amount of effort you put into disciplining them and telling them off, you're putting that same amount of effort into affirming them and who they are and their uniqueness and their promise and their potential. They need to hear that. That is speaking life into children. Do that for your colleagues. Find them doing something and just come alongside them and say, do you know what? When you do that, you do it so well. You know, I am in awe of Paula. Paula is the most efficient person I know. And I continually affirm her and tell her that she has a gift of administration. She's not very keen on that. She'd much rather have another gift. But that's just the gift you've got, isn't it? And she's incredibly good at it. And look at Liz. Every week we're all standing here drinking our coffee, eating our biscuits, dropping crumbs all over the floor. And what is Liz doing? Liz has got the Hoover and she's hoovering the carpet. And I admire and applaud her servant heart. Her and Duncan in the background, this church would not survive without them. And there are many, many others in this building today that just need one of us to come up alongside them and say, do you know what? Thank you for doing that. The way you do that is just really blesses me. We need to hear that. People need to hear that. You know, think about people at work and find an opportunity to maybe to speak to their boss and say, do you know, that person, you know, they did this the other day and it really made a big difference to me because I was able to do A, B or C because they did their job well. Speak life over people. There's enough naysayers out there. And finally, speak the truth to power. It is imperative, no matter how much of an introvert you are, that you speak up for the people that have no voice. And there are many people who have no voice. And that's why I mention Asif. You know, people all over the world who are currently displaced. We need to be speaking to our government. We need to be telling them it's not okay that there are children living in camps and we won't accept them into this country at the moment. We need to be speaking up for carers at home. You know, Liz shares with me regularly about the challenges of being a GP and some of the services she can't get provided for her patients. We need to speak up for the NHS. It's being dismantled in front of our eyes. We need to speak the truth to power. And we also need to speak to the truth to power in this church. Don't complain. Don't moan. Join the PCC. Be a church warden. Be a treasurer. Take on editorialship of the magazine. We need to serve and we need to speak life. Write to the council. Write to the government. Speak up for a friend or colleague that you think is being unjustly or unfairly treated. Join a demonstration. Great fun. I went on a demonstration a couple of weeks ago and met a brand new friend. It was great. I'm going to leave you with a challenge. And it's a challenge really for those of us who are involved in any kind of electronic communication. Now, I know not everybody will be and some people are really not fans, but a lot of us in this room will use WhatsApp or Twitter or Facebook or an email or some kind of electronic conversation. I'd like to challenge you to go back over the last week and have a look at some of your electronic conversation. Were you speaking life? Challenging myself as well. And have a think about that and talk to God about that and think about how you speak life over your electronic communication. So the key thing to remember is both Ezekiel and Jesus spoke and new life came to forward. So please listen to that spirit that you've been filled by, but then don't just listen, speak and do. I'm just going to pray over you. Father God, I thank you so much for these people in this place at this time. I thank you that you chose them to be here today at this point in history. They are here for you. I ask that you would fill them with your Spirit, that they would be speakers and bringers of life, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in and through them. In the name of Jesus, amen.